Welcome back, listeners, to SEO Unfiltered. What are the big ranking factors everyone's talking about this year? If you know your way around the back end of your website, you'll probably find this episode a little sexy, a little intriguing, because I'm about to give you exactly what you need to boost your chances of outranking your competitors. So grab a pen, whip out your notes app, or just listen very, very closely, because I've got a ton of information to give you and it's going to be an absolute nerd fest. So ranking factor number one, how efficiently Google can crawl your site. This might be news for you, but Google is slowing down its crawl frequency, which means that you need to make sure your site can be crawled as effectively as possible when those bots show up. There are several ways to optimize your site's crawlability. For example, check your robots text file to make sure there aren't any important pages that are being blocked. Speaking of which, also check that you don't have any pages accidentally set to no index, which is a common whoopsie that happens when the page goes live and someone forgets to flip the switch. You also want to make sure that the mobile version of your site is effectively perfect, as it will be indexed first. Okay, so this is officially your warning. Google is taking longer than it used to index your page, so be sure to make it count. Moving on to ranking factor number two, which is your site structure. There is, in fact, a way to optimize your site navigation for higher ranking potential, because the more straightforward your site, the easier it is for web crawlers and users to find what they're looking for, which is double points on the SEO scoreboard. Here are a couple of ways to optimize your site structure. First of all, you want to try and make every page on your site accessible from the homepage in maximum 3 clicks. Once again, you shouldn't have any pages that are more than 3 pages deep. Next, use breadcrumbs. It's not always necessary if you have a super simple brochure site with like 4 pages, but it's also not going to hurt, so go ahead and enable those. Place them at the top of the page where they're easy to see. If you have Screaming Frog, audit your links to make sure you don't have any broken links or complicated redirect chains, as those will obviously make your site more difficult to navigate. Ranking factor number three is super easy in comparison, which is your internal linking strategy. Why is this a ranking factor? Well, yes, of course, it helps users navigate through your site in a logical and helpful way, but it also increases engagement rate and gives you more opportunities to massage the user down the marketing funnel. From an SEO standpoint, this sort of interweaving of pages boosts your authority and improves topical relevance, which is important for indexing your webpage. All that to say, the better your internal linking strategy, the more likely you are to outrank your competitors. It's kind of silly how easy this one is to do, but then again, you could develop some potentially bad habits with it, so let's make sure we all understand the correct way to link your pages. For example, keep your links relevant. Don't pester people with links that have nothing to do with the page. If they're reading about how to maximize their tax return, they're probably not in the mood to learn about the top 10 luxury vacation spots. You know, read the room. Your anchor text should be relevant and descriptive, i.e. new tax benefit is way more relevant as an anchor text than click here is, but more on this in a minute. What are some other internal linking best practices? Oh yes, be sure to link more than just the contact and homepage. Go deep and go relevant, baby. Of course, please don't spam your readers with link after link after link after link. Trust me, it's just counterproductive and really annoying. Okay, so that takes us to ranking factor number four, which is your anchor text. Same, same, but different. Your anchor text can also boost your page authority and UX, but there's a right way and a wrong way to anchor links to your pages. The wrong way would be to use words like click here or my article, or to make an entire sentence your anchor text, or to stuff your page with links like I previously mentioned. The right way would be to use descriptive words with a mix of partial and exact matches without bending and twisting your sentences in an obvious attempt to squeeze in a keyword. Make it sound as natural as possible. But that's my advice. Keep in mind why you're doing this, which might help with your anchor text mission. Linking to other relevant pages gives search engines more context to go on and demonstrates your authority on a subject. Number five ranking factor has to do with your core web vitals, which are the vital signs of your site if you want to look at it that way. They measure your site's loading performance, responsiveness, and your page's visual stability. I realize that some of these ranking factors are a bit more technical than others on this list, so I'll spare you the technical terms for these metrics in case your kids are listening, but I think this topic is far too sexy to just skim over like this, so I may do an episode strictly on core web vitals this season, who knows. Anyway, as core web vitals are a ranking factor, you want to optimize what they measure, so that's doing things like speeding up your site, optimizing your site for all formats, and giving your page images fixed dimensions. Reining in your JavaScript can also help improve your core web vital metrics. Okay, let's take a left turn to talk about content, our sixth ranking factor, because obviously high quality content is a ranking factor. We've only been saying it for years now. Nothing I'm telling you should come as a shock, especially if you've been listening to our podcast since day one, baby. Good content makes you look good. Now, how's that for an oversimplification? Good content is also easy to read, serves search intent, and has a logical CTA. From an SEO standpoint, though, good content is also home to your keywords and supporting key phrases. We all know this, it hardly bears repeating. But now let's throw in the topic of AI, and maybe the definition of good content gets a bit blurry for some of you. So, good content can also be written by AI. It just has to be good, as in helpful, as in fact-checked, proofread, expanded upon, and reformatted. ChatGPT-4 is pretty good, but it doesn't lend much experience, expertise, or authority to your site. If you're using AI to help you produce your content, be sure to have someone on your team take ownership of it and tweak it enough to call it their own. Then you'll want to link to their author page, apply on-page best practices, and run the content through your brand style guide to truly call it your own. That's the golden ticket. There's a lot of crap content out there, wouldn't you agree? In fact, I would venture to say that most of the shit floating around the web is just toilet fodder, so Google is doing its best to combat the crap out there by prioritizing content that can show EEAT, or experience, expertise, authority, and trustworthiness. Let this be yet another warning to you. Putting content out there just for the keyword grab ain't gonna cut it anymore, folks. Just don't bother. Okay, next. Ranking factor number 7 is search intent alignment. And I'm really glad I'm talking about this today because it's one of those things that many of our clients tend to ignore or forget about. And I'm not sure why, but I think it might have something to do with SEO experts going on and on about keyword research without really showing the same excitement about the intent side of it. So what I mean is that you really need to understand the intent behind the keyword in order to create content that's relevant and useful for your audience. Is a keyword purely informational? If so, you'll be better off creating a page that gives the audience the answers they're looking for rather than use the keyword as an opportunity to make a landing page that pushes your product, because that's just not where your user is at. Sorry if it sounds like I'm yelling. People's Google searches can be broken down into 4 basic intents: informational, navigational, transactional, and commercial. Certain formats better lend themselves to specific intents. For example, blog posts sort of live in the informational search intent camp, whereas buying guides are better suited for commercial queries. If you want your content to rank higher, it's your job or the job of an SEO agency to understand not only what your audience is searching for, but why, and to create content that helps them achieve their desired outcome. The next ranking factor is topical authority. What is topical authority? Why? The ability to talk about something more than once and from more than one angle, of course. It's the idea that you actually are an expert and you have proven this over and over again because you keep creating high quality content about your specialty. If you want to know how to show your authority on a subject, believe me, it is not rocket science. I.e., keep publishing what you know, be sure your content is well written, cite your sources, and link to other experts. From an SEO standpoint, you do sort of want to make sure that your topic is related to a keyword, but this should come pretty naturally to you or your writer. How does this improve your rankability? The more high quality pages you publish on a specific topic, the more engagement and backlinks from other high authority sites you'll get. And speaking about backlinks, our final ranking factor, number 9, is backlink optimization. What the hell does that mean? Backlinks are basically where the SEO juice is at, which means that the more high quality backlinks your page gets, the higher you will rank. The problem that so many people have with this one is that getting a backlink isn't just something you order on Amazon. Here are our tips for boosting your backlink potential. Sorry, I just really wanted the alliteration. Okay, first of all, focus on creating the type of content worthy of a high quality backlink. Duh. Second of all, claim as many social accounts and relevant directory profiles as possible. This is what we mean by optimization, by the way, taking advantage of every opportunity possible. Thirdly, get involved in industry conversations via forums and events. And don't forget to share your own insights. Guest posting isn't a bad idea, but it really depends on the platform. I would caution people against buying backlinks or making deals with guest blog sites because they're usually not the most reputable domains. But again, it really depends. Use your judgment. Press release syndication is also one of those things that's good if the backlinks are good, and pointless or even potentially harmful if they're coming from syndication sites that suck ass. So be careful. Just to reiterate, there's definitely a potential to do harm to your site when scoping for backlinks. backlinks, so be cautious and use your common sense most of all. And if you're considering buying a backlink, be extra, extra cautious and do your homework, because 9 times out of 10, there's shady business going on. So these are the ranking factors to watch out for this year. I sincerely hope you weren't surprised by any of this, but if you were, fear not. We've got plenty of resources to help you catch up on what you've been missing. Feel free to contact my peers for a free SEO review. It's kind of insane how quickly they can figure out how your site compares to other competitors and what you can do to maximize your site's ranking potential. Be sure to tune in next month for your next dose of SEO advice. In the meantime, follow us on LinkedIn, Facebook, X, Twitter, or whatever, and Instagram for bite-sized SEO tips. See you later, everybody.